D-Mace Vingen and Donick 1025. The game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6 with Max Herz in 1 hour at 6 p.m. right here on 1025. The game, the Predators were shut out on Saturday against the Colorado Avalanche 3-0. So consecutive shutout losses for the Nashville Predators. To the Predators' credit, they were dominant in the first period. Unfortunately, they were unable to score. So it's now two consecutive games that the Predators have been shut out. It's only happened one time in franchise history that the Predators have been shut out in three consecutive games, and that happened almost exactly 10 years ago in November of 2015. So the Predators will look to score a goal for the first time in a little bit tonight against the Florida Panthers. We have not talked about Chim DK today, Derek. You did ask Teron Davenport about DK in the previous segment, but Chim DK, a 90-yard punt return touchdown, two punt return touchdowns for DK today, or excuse me, this season. If it was today, that would be great. But for this season, and keep in mind, that before DK had his first punt return touchdown, it had been nearly 13 years, since the Tennessee Titans had had a punt return touchdown. Darius Raynaud had two punt return touchdowns in the same game. I'm looking at the list, by the way, here, Derek,
yes,
of punt return touchdowns by the Tennessee Titans. So DK has two, the most recent. Darius Raynaud had two punt return touchdowns in the same game, December 30th, 2012. Before that, Tommy Campbell with a punt return touchdown on September 23rd, 2012. Then you have to go back to Mark Mariani in 2011 and 2010. So it's been a long time since the Titans have had a punt returner who is as dynamic as DK. And you heard Teron in the previous segment say, Derek, how it just brought so much energy to the sideline and the stadium to see DK break one off. And we'll see what kind of all-around receiver DK becomes. But having that weapon in your arsenal, you know full well, Derek, having that weapon in your arsenal, having a player who can return a touchdown like that, it is a huge positive for the Titans.
Yeah, it is. It's a TD talked about it. He was at the game. He saw how engaged the sideline, the fans were on that return. Hell, I was engaged, and I was at home jumping up and down. I get excited watching DK play because he's a guy at any minute. He has the ability to make a big play. He's a big play waiting to happen. And it's unassuming with him. Because it doesn't look like he's running fast, but he's running fast. It doesn't look as if he's going to be physical, but he's running through tackles. He's doing all these things that I don't think people, expected of him this season. I'm not going to say they didn't expect it at all, but especially not this season. But he has quietly become, and I said it to TD, I think outside of Jeffrey Simmons, and it's no slight to the veterans that are on that team, but outside of Jeffrey Simmons, you would have to say he's been one of the brightest spots, if not the brightest spot on the team this season. And it makes me happy because I see a kid that was drafted late. Didn't nobody think much of him or expect a lot of him when he came in. And what he has done is just work. And when he's gotten his opportunities, he's made the best of his opportunities. And what comes with that is more opportunities. And you can see it. Now they're giving him the ball more on offense. He should be the number one option for the Tennessee Titans when it comes to offense. He needs to be. He needs a guy. They need – in this game, yeah, you got to have a good scheme. But you got to build it around your players. But it's about players. It's not necessarily about plays. DK slowly is becoming the player, that player. He leads the NFL in all-purpose yards. That's a big thing. You know why? I know it's a big thing because I've done it before. I've done it twice. This kid has done nothing but go out there and has been nothing but a positive for the Tennessee Titans. So the Titans should, moving forward, he should be more in their offensive game planning. Not a sidebar. He needs to be one of the main guys, if not the main guy. Why? Because he can do multiple things.
DK had 5 receptions for 44 yards and a touchdown, plus the punt return touchdown. As you said, Derek, Chim Dike leads the NFL with 1,760 all-purpose yards. Second, Jonathan Taylor, 1,465. Christian McCaffrey, 1,439. Bijan Robinson, 1,396. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 1,350. I would love your opinion on Jackson Smith and Jigba because he's already set a Seattle Seahawks receiving record. And there are still, what, 6 weeks left in the season?
Yeah.
That was an incredible touchdown catch he had.
He pushed off a little bit.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Hey, they didn't call it.
But you know what, Derek? You know this full well. When you're playing well, they'll let you get away with just a little bit.
They will.
When you are one of the top receivers in the NFL, they'll let you push off a little bit. But I would love your opinion on Jackson Smith and Jigba, what you saw from him yesterday.
If you're building – and see – Ohio State, there's two, you know, when you start talking about receivers, Ohio State, University of Miami, Alabama, Oklahoma has had this year wide receivers that have come out.
LSU.
LSU has had this year. Most recently it has been LSU, and they reign supreme. You look at Malik Nabers, Jefferson, Chase, those guys. I mean, come on. So much you can say about those guys. They're wonderful players. But when I look at Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's everything. And I'm not even talking about the height. Because I think he's, what, about 5'11", 6 foot maybe. So I'm not talking about the height and the speed. I don't even know what he ran in a 40. I think he may have ran a 4'3", 4'4". I don't know.
He's listed at 6 feet, 197 pounds.
He's probably about 5'11", which it doesn't matter. I'm not sure if he ran a fast 40 or not. I don't know. But when I look at Jackson Smith and Jigba, when you are putting together like a wide receiver, don't put in the height and weight yet. Don't put in the height. What did he run?
He did not run the 40 at the scouting combine.
Okay. Take away the height and weight. Take away and the speed. Take away those three things. They're big, but just take away those three things. When you're talking about a prototypical like number one dynamic receiver, and I'm not saying he's the only person with this, because I think Chase has it. I think Jefferson has it. There are other guys. Harrison has it. So there are young guys that I believe, like, but when you look at Alave, when you look at Jackson Smith and Jigba, he does everything really well. Like, everything. It's not like, okay, he does this really well, but he kind of, he's okay. No, he does everything really damn well. Put him in a slot, he plays that well. Put him outside, he plays that well. He knows spacing. He knows body control. He makes those combative catches. He understands spacing on the field. This kid, if you wouldn't have known it, you would have thought this kid had been in the NFL for about 8 years, 8-9 years, because that's just how mature his game is. Barring injury, this kid is going to be like Chase and Jefferson and those guys. He's going to put up a bunch of numbers. He's going to be one of the, if not the best, receiver in the game. He may end up this year being the best receiver in the game based upon numbers, but it's going to come a point where he's going to be the best receiver because of his consistency. If he stays healthy. But this kid, everything you want to receive, all these check boxes that the scouts look at, he possesses every one of them, and he does it really damn well.
Let's talk about the receiver on the Tennessee Titans who had the most attention yesterday. that being Xavier Restrepo. May I just pat myself on the back for predicting that he would be active and make a catch. He made two on six targets.
Well, three, but they called one back.
They did call one back on holding on Ali Udo. But, look, it's great that he got out there. Mm-hmm. You said it to TD. His first NFL target in the end zone was unable to bring it down. That would have been a Hallmark moment. I know you love Hallmark movies, Derek Mason. That would have been a Hallmark moment.
Oh, definitely.
Had Xavier Restrepo on his first NFL target hauled in a touchdown on a contested catch. But that's not what happened. He had two catches on six targets. His first catch came on that play from Cam Ward. He evaded the pressure. He was running out of bounds. He threw it across his body over the middle. Restrepo was right there. Fans were going nuts. Willie claims that it's all fake love on the internet for Xavier Restrepo.
High school love. It,
yes. And look, as I said earlier, I found real love on the internet. I met my wife on the dating app. So I found real love
on
the internet.
So you can find true love.
Exactly. It does exist. Mm-hmm. It does exist. But it's important, as I always say, to keep these things in perspective. It's great that Xavier Restrepo got out there finally. He played as well as I would have imagined him playing. He made a couple of catches. He has limitations. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be out there in every other game this season. Why the hell not? But again, let's just not get overly excited, because he does have limitations, right? He's relatively undersized. He's not the fastest.
No.
There was a funny moment on the broadcast. I believe it was right after he made that first catch, and they showed a graphic of the top receivers in Miami history by receiving yards. And I can't recall off the top of my head who the color commentator was for the game yesterday. But he said, yeah, I didn't even realize that until yesterday.
Moose Johnston.
Okay. When we were doing our research. So it's great. One texter said, I love this. One texter says, I think it's awesome for Cam to have Restrepo on the field. It's kind of like going to the bar with your buddy. You don't have to stay together, but you got to know where he's at in case the S hits the fan.
Oh, yeah. I like that analogy.
And that's what happened on that play that led to his first catch. Cam Ward, he was running around. Defender was bearing down on him. He was running out of real estate. He's like, I know Restrepo's out there somewhere.
He threw it in the middle of the field, and there's Strep.
There he was.
Caught the Strep. No, but I think, and we talked about this on the pregame show with Big Joe and Chris, that Big Joe was asking a question about Restrepo, and I'm sure Big Joe is extremely excited because, like you, you know, he was hoping and wishing for big things for Restrepo in his game, and Restrepo got in. And my thing was, listen, regardless if he catch a football or not, you know, if he goes out there and proves to them he deserves to play, then they need to play him again. If he's doing exactly what they asked him to do, but he didn't catch a ball, say it didn't come his way, you shouldn't penalize him for that. If he's done those things, then play him some more. See what happens. But he did make a play. He did make two. He had three catches. One got taken back. But he did those things that you were asking him to do. You gave him a little responsibility. What did he do? He was responsible with it. So next week, you need to give him a little bit more. And again, he's not going to be your number one or your number two. He can be a three. He can be a four. What I love about this kid, he's just a football player. That's what I love about him. That's why a guy like him, I will always root for. You know, do I believe he can be a number one in this league? No. Do I think he could be a number two? Probably not. But I think he can work his way up to being a number three and to have a long career in this league. Why? Because he's those guys that the NFL loves. He's just a football player, and he's going to go out and do whatever it takes. He's going to be smart, intelligent, and do the things that he needs to do to make sure that he's ready. He just was told Friday that he was going to be up. By Sunday, he was catching his first pass. Two of them. Matter of fact, three. Another one's holding by. But he settled in. That's what he settled into the game. The game wasn't bigger than him. Once he got that first catch, he was like, I'm in college again. Now I can go out of here and play. And he showed that catch down the middle of the field. That was a hard catch to make. But he made it. To me, the kid's just a football player, and he's proven that he deserves more time out there. He doesn't need to be, you're hurt. Okay, no, he's a guy that, no, you find the space for him. I've heard coaches say that. If you prove to us you can play, we're going to find a space for you. Well, Restrepo has proved to you he can play. Find a space for him.
Let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Dustin, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening, guys. D-Mace, everything you're saying is exactly what I think about him. And what I said is worst-case scenario that anybody could say is he gets another game. You know, he didn't solidify anything other than he gets another game. And what I see more than anything, the guy was getting open. Yeah, Cam was trying to feed him on that one, and he did. All right? Now, one was called back, and then they held him. It was obviously a hold. It wasn't a terrible hold, but it was a hold. If he'd have pulled that dang ball in, like y'all said, man, I think you throw it to him 10 times, he catches it 6. The kid's got dog in him, and like you said, he's the player that everybody loves. He's just not going to quit on you. In fact, when you try to push him down, you're just feeding the fuel. He's just that type of player. I think he's going to be famous in Nashville. I'm not looking for a number one receiver in Restrepo. I'm not looking for a number two. I'm looking for a good slot receiver that's dependable. And, buddy, he outworks his size. You know, and I'm going to say a quarterback's name, Tom Brady. He got a lot out of people that lack size and we thought ability. But if you do it, well, I'll be dang. That shows you have the ability. I think Restrepo is going to be a nice little piece, and you play in the rest of the season and say, bye, Mason Kinsey. Because one thing I know is a fact, three things, death, taxes, and Mason Kinsey making his practice squad. We need to cut that last one.
Thank you for the call, Dustin.
Thank you.
And, and I agree with Dustin. It's okay to be excited about Xavier Restrepo, while also understanding that he's never going to be a premier wide receiver in the NFL. At best, he's probably a complementary player. And teams need complementary players. So as long as you keep that in mind as you're watching Xavier Restrepo, go nuts. I have no issue with people being excited about Xavier Restrepo.
Catch the strep.
Well, I think I've been vaccinated, but I did say to you and Willie, did your throats get a little bit sore on Sunday when you were watching the game when Xavier Restrepo made the catch? 615-737-1025, if I can spit the phone number out. 615-737-1025. There you go. We'll continue to take your reaction on the Titans' loss to the Seahawks, Cam Ward's performance, Xavier Restrepo, Chim Dike. It's all on the table. We'll also look ahead for the first time Tennessee, Vanderbilt on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. We're going to get into that matchup throughout the week, but we'll start in the next segment. Also, I do want to make sure that y'all are listening because we do have a giveaway this hour. We have a 4-pack of tickets to see AEW Dynamite in Collision on Wednesday, this Wednesday, 2 days from now. If you want a 4-pack of tickets to see AEW Dynamite in Collision on Wednesday at the Pinnacle downtown, be listening for the cue to call in the next segment. So keep that in mind. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Max Herz wants me to remind you that tonight is basketball night. Predators and Panthers. The first 5,000 fans receive a Nashville Predators basketball jersey. All fans can also enjoy 50% off beer.
50%
who doesn't
beer.
Love beer? Michelob only?
Michelob only.
Okay, 50% off Michelob only.
So. Michelob.
Michelob. Yes.
Michelob. I've never had a Michelob in my life.
No?
Never.
I'm not really much of doesn't a beer guy.
It tastes like, I'm not going to say that because then all the beer drinkers out there, no, you don't know what you're talking about. All beers don't taste the same. which you're probably right.
What accent is that?
I don't know. I just,
that's got to be one of those Midwestern accents.
Yeah, I didn't want to tie it down to no one particular genre or anything, ethnicity, so I kind of just said
just keeping it ambiguous.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Continuing our conversation on Xavier Restrepo, Brett and Franklin says, can Restrepo be Julian Edelman? And look, I love Julian Edelman. He's a member of the tribe. Max Herz, he knows what I'm talking about. And Julian Edelman had a fantastic career. He was also an undrafted free agent who had a hell of a career, multiple-time Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP as well. So I think it's asking a lot, Brett and Franklin, for Xavier Restrepo to be the next Julian Edelman.
Listen, if they surround this quarterback with more good players, he can have a role that can wind up being similar to that of a Julian Edelman. Not to say that he will catch 100 passes or anything else. What I'm saying is that he will become a part of an offense that's building. And thank goodness for him that he's sort of in on the ground level, because there's not like four or five proven guys ahead of him or three or four proven guys. You have one guy in Calvin Ridley, and he's hurt. The other guys are rookies just like you. So your gauntlet isn't as full or filled with veteran guys ahead of you. But you do got to continue to work. So, yesterday was a start for him. Still has a long way to go, a very long way. He barely even stepped on the field or put his toe in the water. He still has a long way to go, but I am excited about what I saw from the mere fact of him not knowing if he was going to play or not, but then they making him active. But even if you're active, that doesn't mean you're going to actually be a part of the game. And he got in the game. He was a part of the game. He made some catches. So that I am encouraged by. He's earned his right to have another opportunity.
Cam Ward had his best performance of his young NFL career, and the numbers weren't eye-popping. 28 of 42 passing for 256 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked four times. He also ran the ball six times for 37 yards and a touchdown. By the way, in the past 2 weeks, Cam Ward, 9 carries for 70 yards. So that's becoming a part of his arsenal. Highest QBR of the season, previous high, was last week against the Houston Texans. So the past 2 weeks, his best two performances solely based on QBR. So it looks like Cam Ward is beginning to break out. As I said, context. He did not throw for 450 yards and four touchdowns, but we're starting to see him become more comfortable doing things that we wanted him to do, namely scrambling, looking for opportunities to pick up first downs with his legs, scrambling to make throws. He did that multiple times.
I mean, you're right. He's developing with an offense that's changed somewhat. And I'm not saying it changed from the standpoint of verbiage or anything like that, or you know, just the plays. It hasn't changed, but the way they're calling games, the way that Bo Hardigree is calling games, the things that they're doing, I think has changed for Cam Ward. I think he's settling in and feeling more and more comfortable with Bo Hardigree and the way he likes to call plays. The ball is out of his hands a lot quicker. He's a little bit more decisive. Does he still have things to work on? Absolutely, he does. But I think he is proving that each and every week he's going to get a little bit better. Again, better may not equal win, but better does equal or mean that as he gets better, ultimately the team gets better, and the less they have to worry about that position. Because if they end the season – because this kid has, I think he's on pace to have over 3,000 yards and more touchdowns than interceptions. If he can get his completion rate up, his QBR If he can get that up, like you said, as long as he doesn't finish at the bottom.
Yes.
If he can start moving up slowly by the end of the season, I think they will have a good idea on who they believe he who he is and can be and what they need to surround him with.
Caleb on our text line in reaction to Brett and Franklin's text. Good God, two catches and we're texting in asking that? And this is sort of the beauty of Xavier Restrepo. He generates these incredible reactions on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And look, I'm thinking about what we were talking about earlier as I opened the show. We here in Nashville are home to the NFL's worst team and the NHL's worst team. Not a great place to be.
Not at all.
But the Titans, you've got Cam Ward. You've got Chim Dike. You've got Gunnar Helm. You've got players on the defensive side of the ball, too. Young players who appear to be maturing in front of our eyes. They're not blowing us away by any stretch of the imagination, with the exception of DK on punt returns. They're not blowing us away, but you can watch the Titans, and maybe if you squint hard enough, you can see the outline of what that next core group could be. You know, the Predators, the Predators are in a different spot. There are young players on the team, sure. And Barry Trotz, who, by the way, will join us tomorrow at 5 o'clock, as he does every week. Barry Trotz is talking about building the new core. To me, at least, Derek, I feel like the new core, quote-unquote, for the Titans is easier to see right now than it is for the Predators. So, despite the teams being in this position, worst teams in their respective leagues, I think at least the Titans are showing you, hey, we've got some young players, maybe they can be something.
It's like you've ever sat or stood like on the ocean shoreline, if you're on a beach, and you see that it may be a tanker, but so it's so far out that you just see like the outline and the glimmer. You don't know quite. It's like, okay, that's where the Titans are now. They are so far from where they want to be, but you're starting to see little glimmers of it. Like, okay, I see it may be this. Or it could, but I do see an outline of something, and it looks like it's coming a little bit closer. It may take some time, but it's going to come closer, and we're going to realize what it is. That's what I think you're seeing from Cam. I think that's what you're seeing from DK, Gunnar Helm, this whole young nucleus, even on defense. You see it, but it's so far away right now that it's hard to really focus in on it and know what it looks like. This team still has a ways to go. But I am starting to see some of the outline. And the outline is Cam, DK, Sweat, Ellick, Gunner, Skoronski. Guys like that are starting to show up.
Maybe Kevin Winston.
Kevin Winston, yeah. Guys like that are showing up somewhat. Jeffrey's always showed up. So, okay. But eventually, I think the more and more you start to surround him with, the closer and closer that vision of what you want it to look like is going to become clear, and I think everybody's going to see it. Hopefully, it's what I envision it can be. Hopefully, once it comes all together, it's what I envision.
By the way, Cam Ward's 17-game projection for passing yards, 3,415.
Okay.
With 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. That's what he's on pace for over a 17-game average. Craig on our text line says, Derek, with Chim Dike showing he can be a capable return man, is there any advice you would give him going forward on how to be this reliable year in and year out?
Keep doing what you're doing. One thing I will say to him is this. Don't neglect your special teams responsibility when you start to get more responsibilities on offense.
Okay.
Don't do it, because special teams is what got you here. It's what got you here. And the only reason is because they took me off. Alan Lowry, all of Jeff Fisher, they took me off because I was so important to the offense. So they took me off for special teams because they had Justin McCarron, guys, that could return. So they segued me out of returning. It was like, we'll let you return if we need something or we need a catch. You can return. But had they not done that, had they not removed me from it, I would have shown the same type of attention as a returner. I would have showed that same attention I did when I first got that job. No matter if I was the first receiver, the number one receiver or not, I was still going to show special teams the attention that it needed, because I understood the reason that I'm standing in this spot is because I proved to them on special teams I can make plays. So my advice to DK is continue to be intentional with your special teams, no matter how many opportunities they're going to give you offensively. Do what you need to do offensively and put the energy toward that, but don't neglect the special teams.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the Titans, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, the Predators, you name it. It's on the table, 615-737-1025. All right, I promised a giveaway, so here it is. If you want a four-pack of tickets to AEW Dynamite and Collision at the Pinnacle this Wednesday, 2 days from now, November 26th, be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025. You will win a pair of tickets to see AEW Dynamite Thanksgiving Eve and Collision at the Pinnacle on Wednesday, November 26th. I'll be there. You can be too. 615, caller number 4, 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Adam Vingan, Derek Mason here with you, sporting his Smashville basketball jersey.
Exactly. I said, with this number right here, I'm getting a tech. And I'm getting thrown out of the game.
Number 98?
Yeah, Dennis Rodman, man. Come on now.
Well, he was 91, wasn't
he? Yeah, you're right. He was 91.
Yeah.
He'll still get thrown out.
I still get thrown out. I'm close enough.
If you're wearing a number in the 90s, you're probably due to get a technical foul.
Yeah, you're due to get a technical.
But Derek is foregoing 85 to wear number 98.
Exactly. I'm supporting the Preds, man. Come on,
The Predators are back in action tonight at 7 o'clock against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers.
But you know what they look like? Indiana jerseys. The Pacers.
The ones you're wearing? Yeah.
Yeah, the Pacers.
It's got the gold and the pinstripes.
The stripes, yeah. I'm a Detroit guy and the Laker guy.
But the Preds on the jersey
is giving it,
well, it's giving me Grizzlies vibes.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's giving me some Grizzlies vibes.
I like it. Got the Nashville colors.
I see a lot of Predators fans wearing their Smashville basketball jerseys tonight. The Predators, again, back in action at 7 o'clock against the Florida Panthers. The Predators have been shut out in consecutive games. They lost 3-0 to the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday. They lost 4-0 against the Penguins a week or so ago in Sweden. So the Predators looking to avoid being shut out in 3 consecutive games for the second time in franchise history, for the first time in almost exactly 10 years. So the Predators will look to actually score a goal tonight against the Florida Panthers. And if you just missed out on winning those AEW tickets to Dynamite and Collision, we do have more tickets to give away tomorrow. So be listening tomorrow for your chance to win tickets to see AEW Dynamite and Collision Wednesday at the Pinnacle. Not too far from here. We're at Bridgestone Arena. Zach on our text line says, I see Cam Ward, Gunnar Helm, and Chim Dike to potentially be the modern-day McNair, Wycheck, and D-Mace. Now we need our Eddie George, and they will be on the right track. Look, I am not going to be one to stomp on all of your optimism. I think it's great. We could all afford to be more optimistic about life. I certainly could. I am a cynical person by nature. Let's crawl before we walk, or walk before we run. So it sounds great that Ward, Helm, and DK could be the next McNair, Wycheck, and Derek, but let's pump the brakes for now. This team is still 1-10. The Titans are 1-10 or worse for the first time since 1994. So it's a nice thought. Let's, again, as I always say, this should be my catchphrase. Keep things in perspective.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they are a long way from even mentioning that. But I get, you know, what the Texer is envisioning. And if they can get to that point, then it's going to be great for this organization. But I want them to be better than that, because ultimately, if you're better than that, you put yourself in a position to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, DK, Gunner, Cam, Alec, you know, those guys that are growing with this offense. You know, if you envision, if that's what you envision, and I understand why you do it, because who wouldn't want to see that again? But these guys are a long way from that. Steve, myself, and Frankie, we were not, you know, it wasn't put together overnight. It took years for that whole combination to come together where it was prosperous for the team. You know, Steve and Eddie were a little bit ahead of me. Me, Steve, and Frank was a little bit ahead of me. And then once I finally got my opportunity, you know, we, along with Eddie, we became, you know, a foursome. You know, whether it was Frankie making the tough catches or myself doing what I needed to do offensively or in special teams. And Eddie, we know what he was about, and then Steve. So I hope they do get to that point where, you know, it's resembling more of Eddie, Steve, myself, Frank than not. Because if it does, then that means you have a good nucleus of players. You got to, you know, you have something really, truly to build on if those guys turn out to be that.
Zach chimes back in and says, keyword, potentially. You're right, yes. Zach. Keyword is potentially. Derek, you mentioned this to me during the break. A couple of weeks ago, Ja'Marr Chase, suspended by the NFL for spitting on Jalen Ramsey. You have brought to my attention that Colorado State has suspended a couple of players for the team season finale after spitting on players on Boise State over the weekend. I'm not sure where the spitting on people thing is coming from, but it has you hot under the collar.
Yeah, it does. It's like, that's just a lack of respect. Didn't your parents teach you better in any incident? And what's so bad about this is that, listen, they're not kids. These are grown people. You know, they're 18, 19 years old, 20, and Ja'Marr Chase, you're even older than that. Where have we lost the respect? Where has that, like, when did that become a thing where you can just totally disrespect your opponent and spit on your opponent and do all some of these crazy things that individuals find themselves doing in the realm of competition? When has that been okay? Because, again, these things y'all are doing on the playing field, you ain't going to do that to nobody out in the real world. You spit on somebody in the real world, you're going to jail. You are. I just don't get where the – to me, the NFL should come up with a rule. If you spit on anybody, two games, mandatory. You ain't even got time to, you know, appeal it. Two games, you're gone. College, same thing. You spit on, because that is a deliberate act. You knew exactly what you were doing when you did it. That ain't something in the heat of the moment. It just happened. No, you spit a loogie right at somebody. And you did it on purpose. So you know what? On purpose, we're going to suspend your ass for two games. There you go. Have at that.
In a couple of weeks, we are headed on a collision course. If things continue to go the way they are going, in 2 weeks, Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders when the Titans visit the Browns December 7th. Shedeur Sanders in his first NFL start, 11 of 20 for 209 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Sanders became the 42nd quarterback to start for the Browns since 1999. But he also became the first Cleveland quarterback to win his first NFL start since Eric Zier in 1995. The victory ended a 17-game losing streak for the Browns in games with a quarterback making his first career start. That was the longest streak by any franchise since 1950 when quarterback starts were first recorded. Did you have a chance to catch up on Shedeur Sanders' first career?
Yes, I did.
And what'd you think?
I wanted to see it. I was excited for the young man, and I think I saw exactly what I thought I was going to see, up and down play. He made a great throw, and then the defense fooled him, and he threw right into a zone blitz. So those are things that he needs to learn, and like any other quarterback, I saw exactly what more than likely I knew I was going to see. inconsistency. But, you know, hey, he has another week. I think he's going to be the starter this week.
He is. He's already been named the starter.
Yeah, so he has another week.
Against the 49ers.
He has another week to get better. But yesterday was typical of a rookie. He made some good plays, but then he made some bad ones.
An interesting Monday night football game tonight. Panthers at 49ers. The 6-5 Panthers. We talked about the Panthers last week and Bryce Young against the 7-4 49ers. There's, of course, the Christian McCaffrey thread in all of this. So what do you make of this matchup tonight between the Panthers and the 49ers?
This is going to be a good matchup. The Panthers are clinging to a playoff spot, I believe, still. Is San Fran in the hunt, too? I think they are as
yes,
well.
Yes, they're 7-4.
So you got two teams that are in the hunt in the NFC for
yes.
a playoff spot. So Carolina doesn't seem like they're better on paper when you talk about the statistics, but they're winning football games. I don't know how they're doing it,
yeah, I don't
but
know
they're
either.
Winning football games. So when you're going against a team, you know, in San Fran that are dealing with their own problems, with their wide receiver, Ayuk, they got some injuries that they're dealing with as well. So, but the bright spot has been Mac Jones for them. Now, is Purdy back? I'm not sure if Purdy back. Is he back yet or not?
I'm not sure.
But they're all – I think both teams are dealing with their own issues. I think Carolina has been a surprise to a lot of people. And in San Francisco, they're just dealing with things that they've been dealing with for the last couple of years, injuries.
The 49ers are 7th in the NFC at 7-4. The Panthers are 9th at 6-5. So
this is a playoff game, a playoff positioning game.
Yes,
you know?
A de facto playoff
exactly.
game. Joey from Bellevue on our text line says, there is a great chance that Myles Garrett will set the all-time sack record against the Titans. He has 18 now.
Man,
the record is 22.5.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, I had the opportunity and the pleasure to watch Reggie White up close and personal when he was in Green Bay. And everybody knew Reggie was, a stud. He may have been just as well the greatest defensive end ever. This Myles Garrett dude, if you're not putting three people on him, you got a problem. You ain't doing your – you need to be fired. This dude has proven, like, you can't block me with one guy. That's just ridiculous. Two guys, it's really – you're at a disadvantage still. Even with three guys, it's like I still give Myles Garrett a 45% chance at winning against three people. Hey, that's bad. This guy is just a – he proved to me these last – he has, in 3 weeks, I think he has 12 sacks, if I'm not mistaken. This dude, we're seeing something we've never seen before. And I've seen a lot of great players come through this league. But what he is doing this season, Myles Garrett, man, he's unstoppable. He's completely – there's nobody that can block him.
Past four games for Myles Garrett. He had five sacks.
Yes, that's what I'm saying,
he
last
five
week.
Five sacks against the Patriots.
He had against Baltimore.
Yeah. So the past four games, oldest to newest. Five sacks against the Patriots, one sack against the Jets, four against the Ravens, three against the Raiders yesterday.
He's unstoppable. He's when you say a guy's in a zone, he's in the zone. And
yeah, little,
there's nobody
scary.
That can stop him. There's nobody that can stop him. The guy's just – I saw him bend, like get low to the ground on one play. I'm like, how can a guy 6'6", 300 and some pounds, yes, get that low to the ground?
He is a monster of a man.
I believe he has
0.1% body fat, and that might be an overestimation. But yes.
That's somebody you see in the alley. And you just say, hey, man, let's just be friends.
Multiple people have pointed out that Brock Purdy did come back last week.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
I apologize to all of our 49ers watching listeners out there. But we'll see what sort of havoc Myles Garrett could wreak on the Titans in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
The Titans do have another game to play before that. They host the Jaguars this week at Nissan Stadium before going to Cleveland a week from Sunday. But just – we heard it already today, but the Cam versus Shador, it was a big talking point during the lead up to the draft process. Especially if Shador Sanders wins his start against the 49ers this week, and has more starting wins than Cam Ward does, assuming the Titans lose to the Jags. We'll be here at all next week. They made the wrong choice. A lot of teams passed up on Shedeur Sanders. So it's not like they chose Cam
Cleveland
over.
Cleveland passed up on him, what, five times?
Multiple times. They drafted another quarterback before they drafted him. So I can't get too worked up about it. But the Predators are back in action tonight against the Florida Panthers. They lost 3-0 to the Avalanche on Saturday. Consecutive shutout losses for the Predators going back to the second game in Sweden against the Penguins. The Predators have not been shut out in 3 consecutive games in basically 10 years.
Let's go, Preds.
So
let's go.
We'll see if the Predators can actually score tonight against the Florida Panthers. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:20. Barry Trotz, Predators GM, will join us at 5 o'clock. We will get more into Vanderbilt's gigantic matchup against Tennessee on the weekend. And there's already been some fighting within our text line. So we'll see if we can bring it to the phone lines tomorrow as well. Max Herz has Predators pregame for you coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 p.m., 102.5 The Game. Peace.